Welcome to Jenny's Uncensored Pennies. I am Jennifer Marie Martinez.
I am Adam Herrera.
And today, well, it's going to be a heavy one. And I have to warn you that we will touch on domestic violence lightly on, and that's ironic, lightly on sexual child abuse. And for any of those of you that experience abandonment or have abandonment issues like myself, you have been warned. It's heavy. So if you are don't have the mental or emotional capacity to listen to any of that, maybe, you know, not maybe skip this episode. Adam's just nodding vigorously. Why are you so quiet, Adam?
What? No. Yeah, it's going to be heavy, but let's do it.
But I mean, that's life, right? Like, it can't all be fun and games and whatever.
Yeah.
And
got to talk about the hard stuff.
Right. You got to talk about the hard stuff. And the fact that I can talk about the hard stuff, you know, is because, like, I feel like I have been on my healing journey for very many years. And so now I can talk about these things. Will I get emotional through some parts? Like, maybe. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not quote-unquote over it, or I'm like stuck in the past or whatever. It just means that, you know, there's a little part of me, and probably like the little girl in me, that still has some maybe hurt feelings, but we're working through it. I won't be using any names of anybody or any like identifying information. If you, for those of you that are listening that know me personally, then I mean, I'm sure you'll figure it out. But, and you know, this is very much just me sharing my experience without wanting to, you know, hurt any feelings or point fingers or anything like that. So we're talking about my bio father today. Yes, I have one of those.
Hey, so do I.
And yours is really nice, actually.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's see. The last time that I actually, I guess we can work our way backward. I don't know. So the last time that I actually spoke to my biological father, I was, that's what I was trying to remember a little while ago, scribbling. So I was actually 20 years old. My family and I, when I say my family and I, specifically talking about myself and my sisters and my mom too, we're going through a very tough situation that I won't touch on today, maybe another conversation. And so I reached out because I needed help. I needed money is what it was. And money was really tight for me, and I was really struggling. And so I reached out, and I didn't know where he lived. I didn't know his phone number or anything. All I knew was where he worked, like the company and the city that the company was in. And so I looked it up, probably in a phone book, because we still had phone books back then. And I called and asked for him, and yeah, he happened to be there. And I spoke to him. He was very surprised. And I went into my little spiel, and he told me that, you know, he was providing for his two children, and so he couldn't help. And then it was just like, well, damn.
Like, were you nervous or like?
Yeah.
Like, kind of, I don't know. It's like, it's your father, but like, you're kind of meeting a stranger in a way.
Right. Well, right. And so I think that there was a part of me, you know me, like, when do I ask for help?
You've gone better.
I have gone better.
But you've had to, like, your independence, you had to be, like, strong, like, you know, a strong woman, basically, a strong mother. And yeah.
Okay, when you talk to me like that, I want to cry. But thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode is going to be hard.
Stop. All right. And so Right. So, I mean, I don't like asking people for money, period. So when I said, you know, how often do I ask for help, you know, financial help, I don't even like to try to sell stuff, much less ask people for money. Right.
Right.
And so anyway, there was that part of me that was like, so that tells you right there, all that to say that, like, you know, I was desperate for me to go that way. That should just tell you that I was desperate for me to actually go to those lengths, right? Which maybe I'm being dramatic, but because before that, I hadn't spoken to him since I was 11 years old, right? So it was like a part of me was nervous and scared, ashamed, whatever. And then, and because I had to like swallow my pride, right? Like this was a person I hadn't spoken to since I was 11 years old. And here I was like asking for this financial help. And then there was also, I think what helped me actually pick up the phone, dial, stay on the phone instead of hanging up was kind of like that, like pissed off, like, fuck you, like you owe me. Kind of a thing. I mean, sure, he paid his court-ordered child support, like, you know, from the time, I mean, I don't know how old I was when it actually started, but my parents divorced when I was 3 years old. And so it, you know, stopped on my 18th birthday or whatever. And it was all of like, I don't know, $130 or maybe even less than that. I honestly don't remember. And yeah, and even that, like throughout my life, when I had issues with my mom or I would get upset with my mom, it was like, oh, well, my dad sends you money for me. And it was always like something stupid. Like if I wanted something and she didn't get it. And then like, that's how I knew the amount because she was like, oh yeah, like this is how much I get like to provide, like to help provide for you or whatever. And then I was like, well, damn, like that really shut me up. You know, because I mean, nowadays, I mean, what? Like our dinner was that much probably, right?
Yeah.
Literally. So yeah, so that was at 20. Like I said, they divorced when I was 3 years old. In the second episode, I had mentioned how I'm product of domestic violence, like conceived as far as I know, like it wasn't a consensual conception. And then when my mother came out pregnant, you know, she was forced to marry my father, and there was an age difference there. I believe she was 15 when that happened. She was, and I once like I was born, I think she was like 16 or something. But yeah, he, for whatever reason, he would beat her up. And I spoke about that before too, how one of my earliest memories, you know, being 3 years old behind a sofa, just scared and crying because all I heard was screaming and I could hear, you know, the flesh on flesh, like banging, and not in a fun way, right? I mean, it was terrible. And yeah, and then fast forward what I remember seeing him when I was 5 years old for a birthday. My birthday's in January. So this was, if I was 5 years old, this was 1986, ladies and gentlemen.
And I wasn't born. Whew, it's crazy.
And so it snowed for like the first time ever or whatever. And yeah, so somewhere there's like a couple of Polaroids with me wearing this, like, you know, in what is it? The Christmas movie? You'll shoot your eye out. What is that? A Christmas story.
Oh.
A Christmas story, right? The little brother, and he like can't put his arms down and that big old coat.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't quite that big, but you get the idea. Me wearing a coat like that, a like fall fur gray coat, I remember it, with like a fall leather belt that it tied around it. I felt so fancy as a little kid.
Oh.
But yeah, by a snowman and like, you know, a picture with my paternal cousins, you know, with the piñata and stuff. And I remember having, you know, a few birthdays with them. It's just really funny because I don't really remember spending much time with my actual father, but I did spend time with like my paternal cousins. And I have some good memories with them, but with that actual man, like, you know, I remember that. And then at 9 years old, this was like, I had just come out and, you know, told my mom that I was being sexually abused. And so she made a report to CPS. I had to like go to the hospital, which was like so weird. But I mean, they just did like, yeah, that's when like I had my pap smear and everything for the first time. And I remember being in the hospital and then him coming and coming to visit me. And then I spent a weekend with him and his family with the wife that, you know, actually had brothers and wasn't raised as a adopted only child like my mother was. And apparently those brothers had threatened him and said, if you do our sister like you did your ex-wife, like, we're going to kill you, kind of a thing. Yeah. And he had his two kids, perfect, like, you know, a boy and a girl, son and daughter, whatever. And they were very small. And yeah, like a, I guess like a good memory that I have is Dirty Dancing, being on the television on like, I don't know, cable TV and dancing to like that soundtrack in the living room and stuff. And not being treated warmly by his wife. And I mean, I get it now, you know, I guess. But that 8-9-year-old little girl, like, didn't understand.
Right.
Why or whatever. And I guess even then, like, I remember feeling a certain kind of way, like, towards his kids. Because it was like they have their mom and dad, right? And when I was being abused by a stepfather, I would write letters to him right before I spoke up. I would write letters to him like, I want to see you, come get me, I miss you, I love you, that type of thing. And I would make my own handcrafted little chueco, which means cricket, envelopes out of like paper road folded up and then put my little letter in there and I guess give it to my mom to like mail out for me or whatever. Again, didn't have an address. I think maybe she had it or whatever. I don't know if those letters ever went out, but I never, or if he ever got them. But yeah, I never heard anything, like I said, until I spent that weekend. And then after that, fast forward to being, as I mentioned earlier, 11 years old. And out of nowhere, it was like, oh, we have to go to court. My mom was like, we have to go to court because your dad wants to file custody over you. Like, he wants you to go live with him. And for me, I was just like, wait, what? And so apparently at that time, his reasoning for wanting to take custody, I guess he had told the courts or whatever that I was being abused by my current stepfather, which was not true because, well, my mom had divorced the other man and now she was with somebody new. And that person, like, to this day is my dad. And I was just so angry. Like, why would you lie? Like, that's disgusting. Like, why would you say a lie like that? And I mean, I just saw the hurt in my dad's eyes, right? And yeah, I went to the court, saw him briefly. And when I spoke to him on the phone, I was like, you know what? I already have a dad. I don't need another one. And this was, you know, I was telling my biological father. So I guess maybe when I called him being 20 years old and asking for financial help, maybe that's what he held on to, that he's like, I mean, he didn't say that to me. Like, well, remember when you told me you have another dad? But maybe that is something. And the reason why I even say that is because during, like, I guess it was already like during COVID. So it must have been what, like 2021 or something. I don't remember when it was that his son actually reached out to me. And when that happened, it was just like, whoa, what the heck? because it was like over social media.
Hmm. Out of nowhere.
Yeah. So through like, you know, a private message, I was like, what the heck? And my first instinct like was like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Because it was very much like, oh, where do you live? Oh, you live in California. Where in California? Oh, you live close to LA. Oh, you know, I have kids or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, so you want to make nice with me so you can come and what, stay at my house and go to Disney or something? And I mean,
it was just probably kind of weird that he was asking all these penetrating questions, like trying to get like the 411, you know? It just felt like off, or like wait, what? Kind of, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't really like, hey, how are you? How's it going? Like, you know what?
We have like, the same dad.
Yeah. Like, literally. But yeah, I don't know. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no. And when I told my therapist about that whole interaction and what my first like reaction was, she was like, why did you go there? You know? And I'm like, it's been all this time. Like, what else am I supposed to, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like, I don't know, maybe that's what I'm used to, right? Or like, I know that when I was 20, I reached out to his dad and I asked for something. So maybe now here we are 20 years later or whatever, and his son is asking me for something. I don't know. And he wasn't, and so he didn't, like, to set the record straight, like, he never asked me for anything other than to acknowledge that, you know, that's my dad and whatever. And I was like, no, that's not my dad. That's your dad. And I would always say like, oh, your dad. He's like, no, he's our dad. And I'm like, no, he's my biological father. Sure. He's not my dad. And that's just like me separating.
Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, what is a biological father? Some people even say sperm donor, right? Like that's even more cold-blooded. Like,
yeah,
that's just my sperm donor, whatever. So I'll at least say, okay, it's my biological father, but that's not my dad. Like, that's not the man that taught me how to drive. That's not the man that consoled me or, you know, knows my kid or, you know, has been there and helped me in any capacity, you know? So, yeah. And he, the son, would constantly bring that up. Like, no, like, I'm your brother and, you know, I have kids and you're their tía, their aunt. And I'm like, no, I have two sisters. And I have, well, now two nieces and two nephews. And that's it. And that's it. I don't, like, is that harsh? Is that?
No. I mean, I don't know. Depends. What was his intention of, like, it's our dad, but you're kind of like setting a boundary with him already. Which I think is healthy, like, of you, you know, kind of, well, in a way, it's kind of like it's protecting yourself, you know, like you're protecting, like, how you know things, right?
Right.
He's, you know, you're not letting him change your mind or, like, the way you feel about it. It's just kind of setting, like, a neutral boundary with him.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
But I mean, after all this time, I mean, yeah.
Well, right. And then when he shared, like, how he came to find out about me, did I tell you this? So
maybe.
It was like when, I guess, he started dating, you know, as a teenager, and his mom, it wasn't even his dad that told him. It was his mom. He says it was his mom that sat him down and told him, like, you have to be careful because, you know, your dad, this happened. And so now, you know, he has a daughter out there or whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. And so And then here he is, like, so he's known since he was like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so all this time.
Why now?
Exactly. So that was the thing. And then he would come at me with like, well, you know, our dad's just getting older and he's not going to live forever. And I would love it if like you would see him and just, but I'm like, but have you talked to your dad about me? Does your dad know that you sought me out? Does your dad know that we're getting to know each other? And he's like, well, no. I'm like, okay. And I was very transparent with him. I'm like, listen, you know, 11 years old, like that whole bit. And he's like, well, you see, that's why he didn't reach out, because you told him that you already have another dad. And I'm like, I was a child.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, kids say things, and you know what? Honestly, like, I fucking meant that shit, because if you're going to try to come into my life, take me away from my family, you're going to spread lies about people that I love, I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had even said, like, do you even know when my birthday is? Like, that's what I had told my biological father in that conversation also. Right. And so I'm like, okay, fine. Like, I said that and I meant it. But the fact that he didn't even try, like, that tells you, told me, like, spoke volumes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, shit, my ex-husband took a job in another fucking state when our son was, what, in kinder, first grade or something, who's really, really young. And he talked to me first about it, like, hey, this is a great opportunity for me. What do you think? And I was, and the first thing I said was, I don't know how you can leave your son, but I understand that it is a great opportunity. And I acknowledge like your ambition and all of that and power to you. I couldn't personally do that. Now, okay, you do that. You have to call, FaceTime, whatever, like as much as you possibly can. And like, please visit at least once a month. At least once a month. Because I know flights, you know, expensive, whatever. It was like in another time zone. So that's how far away it was, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, and he stuck to it. Why? Because he loves his son. Because he wants to have a relationship with his son. And sure, maybe my son, you know, totally different environment. Like not, I mean, he never witnessed anything crazy between his parents or whatever. And, you know, I always encouraged him and to like, you know, seek out his dad, or like, I never spoke bad about his dad around him or anything like that. Yeah. And I mean, he just stuck to it. So all of that to say that, like, if the man really, I mean, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but if a person really wants something, then they're going to do what they can, right? I mean,
yeah, like whatever it takes.
Yeah, like within reason. But in this case, with a child, like to have a relationship with a child, I mean, shit, I live with my son, and it's work to have that relationship. It's work to, you know, it took a lot of work to build that foundation so that we can communicate or whatever. And now as he's gotten older, like, that's challenging.
Hmm.
Trying to get a teenage boy to say more than two words. I mean, that's a challenge. But you know what? Like, I want to know my son.
Mm-hmm.
So I will keep bugging him. I will keep. And he's like, no, you're not bugging me. And I'm like, tell it to your face. But you know what I mean? So anyway, but yeah, so his son like threw it out in my head of like, well, you told him that you didn't need him as a dad. And that was a story that I shared with him. But I mean, you know, I'm sure like if somebody came and told you, like somebody out of the blue was like, hey, I'm your brother. Imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine. it's just crazy. I've heard a couple stories about that. So, like, oh, you have a brother, you have a sister. I'm like, holy crap.
Oh, just, yeah. People always joke like that.
Well, I mean, they no, well, not with me. Like, yeah. I know of other people that have gone through that, and it's like, it like changes your, kind of like your life story or, well, it doesn't change it completely, but like, it kind of takes a turn because like your whole world is rocked and you're like, whoa, okay. And then you start doing like investigating, like you start investigating who that person is, like where are they from? What's their story?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of like what Kevin, wait, sorry. We'll bleep that out. I think that's kind of what he did.
Yeah.
You know, investigated and...
like got really curious.
Yeah.
But like you said earlier, like why now?
Yeah.
30 years later for timing, him. Like why now?
Timing is kind of weird.
And maybe it was because it was the pandemic. And we had also lost a cousin that like that whole side of the family like adored. She died of cancer and he apparently was really close to her and his dad was extremely close to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had told me like before she died, that cousin of mine. And that was weird too. When she reached out and was like, oh my God, I've been trying to find you for years and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I believed her because I remember her, you know, throughout my childhood, like very much being that like cousin that always tried to keep like the cousins together type of thing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so I believed her. And then she had said, well, I really want to tell my uncle that I found you, but I don't know how. But I will, but I don't know how. And then, well, she died of cancer.
Hmm.
And I was, and so, well, I'm assuming like she never got the chance. And I mean, she had her own, obviously, battle that she was dealing with. She had two young girls that she left behind, you mm-hmm. know? And so, I mean, that's just tragic. Yeah. So I'm assuming that's how then her cousin, you know, her uncle's son
uh-huh.
came to find me like on social media or whatever. Cause I haven't shared a last name with them in, geez, 20 years. 20 years I let go of that name. And I mean, I have it in my old email account.
The OG AOL. AOL. Oh my God.
But other than that, I mean, you know, like that hasn't been my name. And even when I did like my book, I was like, oh shit, like what name am I going to use?
Hmm.
Right? Sometimes authors take, what do they call them? Pseudo names or whatever.
Yeah. Like a nickname or like actors.
Yeah. Like you can pretty much be whatever.
Yeah.
And no, I decided, I was like, oh, hell no, because who I am now, like, they had nothing to do with that. I mean, I guess in a way they did, because I have all these issues now. Because I had to go to therapy.
Oh, God.
But, you know, but in all that, like how you're saying, like, it would, you know, people's worlds get shaken when they find something out. And this whole time, yeah, I would wonder, well, what would my life be like, right? When his son reached out, then I was able to see, like, his sister's profile and I found out, like, what schools she went to and
mm-hmm.
whatever. And I was like, dang, man, are you serious? Like, she's, like, living like a princess, like, had everything paid for her and whatever, you know. Like, that's a story that I was telling myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's daddy's little girl, like, all this stuff. And then come to learn, like, from my biological father's son that, like, well, yeah, my dad stressed out because he very much had to provide. He pushed himself to provide. All these things, private school, university, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he became an alcoholic because he was always stressed out. And so even though, sure, he didn't hit their mom like he did mine, there was like, you know, he had to deal with an alcoholic father.
Mm-hmm.
And all the ugly things that come with that. And as a Latino man, you know, him having to deal with that drunk Latino man trying to tell him that, you know, he's not man enough and all this stuff. And it's like, wait, what? So very much, I don't know what you call that, like, you know, verbally abusive, emotional
mm-hmm.
abuse. So, yeah, I didn't get that from him, from his dad. But, yeah, so it was just, it broke that fantasy of mine, right? That, like, oh, I missed out. Hmm. My life could have been different. It was like, oh, shit, like, you didn't have it. You didn't have it easy either. Mm-hmm. Like, your life was hard too. It was just different. Like, a different hard. So, like, we never know.
Right.
What somebody's story is.
Yeah.
Jeez. But, yeah, I felt like I wanted to talk about that man because, I mean, I know when we first started having these conversations and I said it, you know, during one of the conversations, like, man, sounds like, I don't know, I'm just talking shit about my mom, or not even talking shit, but you know what I mean? Like, just like, this happened on my mom's watch type of thing, or how she reacted to certain things or whatever. But then it's like the flip side, right? Like, it's only fair to say, like, well, you know, I have a biological father too, and that's very much a part of my story, because where was he? And I know that there are a lot of people that do grow up without that father figure in their lives. And I think even one time, it was like when we were getting to know each other, or, you know, maybe like the first 6 to 12 months or whatever. I don't know what it was that happened. And you were like, why do you seek like a man's approval or something? And I was like, oh shit, what the fuck? And I know I got defensive. It was like, well, it's not that I need a man's approval. I'm just asking an opinion because I want to get more opinion. Or maybe I felt that whatever it was that I was asking, like, maybe I felt like you were more knowledgeable in that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what the thing was, but I just remember you saying that, and it just like, it made me question, like, oh shit, like, is it like this abandonment shit or whatever that I like, is that still there type of thing? And everything takes practice, right? Like, again, I know I'm not the only one that has like this rejection, abandonment issue, whatever, but yeah, sometimes it does like sneak up on me. And I know that all it has to go back to that, right? Being abandoned by, again, the person that's quote unquote supposed to love you the most, that's supposed to protect you and all that stuff. And it's just like, well, yeah, I have my dad. Like, I told him at 11 years old, I have a dad. It's just different too, you know, like my dad, I don't really call him my dad. Like, to his face, I refer to him as my dad. He's heard me say like, oh, this is my dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just, it's like, I get shy or like embarrassed or like around him. He knows I love him. I tell him I love him and all of that. But like to be like, hey, dad, blah, blah, blah. It's just always like, hey, how are you? Like, do you ever have people that like you never address them by their names? You just like.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, I never call my dad Art or like.
But why would you?
I don't know. It's weird. Or like Denise. Well, actually, maybe like when I'm in public and I don't want, like, they probably can't hear me say mom. So I just say Denise, you know, kind of like.
Yeah.
It gets their attention. Like, wait, what?
Who's calling
like,
me?
Yeah. I know that voice, but why are they calling me that?
That's so weird. Yeah.
But yeah, like I can understand like for people that you're not used to calling them that. It just feels weird. Maybe, I don't know. Like it's awkward or like, I don't know.
Yeah,
what it is about it.
And I've never called my dad like by his name either. Like, I'm not like, hey, you know, like I don't do that.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Or like even your mom. Like,
right. Yeah.
You don't talk to her. You don't say that to her.
It's right. Weird. Yeah. Like I don't address her by her name. I call her mom.
Yeah.
And then when I talk to like Jacob, my son, about my dad, like I don't even say dad, I just say papi because, you know, my sister Mayra, you know, that's papi. Her husband calls my dad papi. It's like, oh, we're going to papi's house. Like the kids, they all know that that's papi.
Interesting.
But I don't call my dad papi either.
Yeah.
And then when I talk to his wife, I'll say like, you know, I'll say his name to her. I don't say like papi or my dad or whatever.
Yeah, I used to call my dad papa when I was little.
Yeah.
Then as you grow older.
Right.
As I got older, started calling him dad or like now I would call him pop, like sub pop.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or they would call me like papi. Or papa, you know, yeah, just different words of endearment, you know, but yeah, that's weird.
I know, yeah, but somebody, yeah, I mean, he's been in my life since I was, 9 years old. I was like 9 years old, like, and when he, like, him and my mom started dating and then eventually they got married. I think they got married when I was like 11 or 12. And then they got divorced when I was like 18. But yeah, I mean, he's seen it all, heard it all. My ups and downs and upside downs.
Trials and tribulations.
Yeah. And he would always say like, because anytime that he would do something that I felt was like, huge, like monumental to me, for me or whatever, right? I would always feel so bad. And he'd always be like, he's bilingual, but his first language is Spanish. And so he would always say like, para eso estamos. Like, that's what we're here for. To help each other out. Right. And I love that. And I always felt like my dad's opinion of me and his care for me and love for me, like, had more weight because he didn't have to love me, quote unquote, because I'm not of his blood. Right? So it was like, I knew that he was genuinely caring about me, showing up for me because he wanted to, not because he felt obligated to. Like, it wasn't his job,
yeah,
if you will. So, and I guess that's kind of shitty because, you know, my mom was there through all of it. And then at the same time, it was like, well, I know my mom's not going to go anywhere. She's my mom. So hell yeah. Like, we would bump heads and like all this stuff, whatever, but not with my dad or like my grandma, right? Like, my grandma was, she adopted my mom. So I wasn't her blood either.
Wow.
So I always felt like my grandma and my dad, like, anybody that chooses to love you, like, that holds a lot of weight when you choose to, like, love somebody. But, yep.
Wrap it up.
Not putting you to sleep?
No.
You traumatized enough?
Yeah. I'm good.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you did stick around after the trigger warning, thanks for listening. Now you know a lot about me. Adam, did you learn anything new about me?
Yeah, a couple things.
Oh.
But most of it I already knew.
Right.
But yeah,
now you're like, oh, now it all makes sense.
Yeah, it's a hard conversation. And it's very brave of you for doing that. You know, putting it all out there.
Well, and that's a thing, right? Because like I said before, Like, I feel like I can talk about things because I'm not stuck in that pain. And I have grown and I have healed. And yeah, like, we shared our experiences because we want people to know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get where I'm at, like, emotionally and stuff, like, as far as my growth and what have you, but it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And despite being, you know, conceived in domestic violence, going through like the child sexual abuse, multiple divorces, my mom went through whatever, like, and so many other things that I have yet to say, like, it's still possible to be a healthy person and have, you know, raise a child that feels loved and safe and, you know, not be like a negative statistic, right? Like, yeah. Thankfully, I don't struggle with like substance abuse or addiction or whatever. But I did at one point, like I used to shop. I would shop, you know, and it was like that retail therapy, as they say. And then I traded that in for, you know, I got a membership at Curbs. Shout out to Curbs.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it exists anymore.
No.
And I was the youngest person there.
I'm sure you were.
And I loved it. But yeah, I started focusing more on like, you know, exercise or whatever, and then eventually got into therapy and stuff. So I mean, it is possible, whatever way that you choose to deal with things. You know, my hope for you is that you do it in a way that, sure, you'll stumble, fall, whatever, but in a way that isn't destructive to yourself or the people around you. And we all have our moments where we are kind of bad to ourselves and to the people around us. But hey, man, as long as you acknowledge it and push forward and you forgive yourself, you ask for forgiveness and you try again, right, to not repeat unhealthy patterns or, you know, toxic behavior, what have you, like, you have my respect. So please reach out. You can even text me. So I started sharing a phone number. You know, I know a lot of people don't really care for social media or don't participate in that. If you do, you can reach me on Instagram at Jenny's_pennies. If you prefer to text, you can text me at 805-312-9116. Adam, where can they find you?
You can reach me at DJ Adam Herrera on Instagram. Yeah, just DM me. I'm not going to share my phone number, but actually I don't even have it written down anywhere, but
I know. Isn't that funny? We don't, I had to write it down because I don't know.
I know. I haven't memorized it either.
But, or, you know, send me a text and I'll connect you with Adam.
Yeah, there you go.
And until next time, please know your voice. You are capable. You are lovable. You are deserving. You are enough.